Good morning, and thank you so much for braving what's going on outside. I'm here to talk to you just as quickly as I can about a huge project. It's actually a randomized control project using a validated and standardized measurement instrument developed by University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. It's called the EPAO. If you do any kind of assessments in childcare, please use that instrument so we can compare across studies. Okay, I wish I had financial things to disclose, but I'm a county employee too. The purposes of our project were, number one, to find out what was going on as far as the nutrition and physical activity practices and policies, because as we know, it's got to be policies in order to determine behavior. The other thing was to test a couple of interventions. Now, let me tell you right from the beginning that this project was fueled by interns, both MPH interns and undergraduate health science interns. They had to do four-hour assessments. They had to be trained extensively so that they did those assessments in a standardized way. It was a hugely costly project that didn't cost the county anything but a couple of salaries part-time. So we wanted to see, because usually whenever we're making changes, we pass some regs, we send out to the people that are being regulated an announcement, and then we expect them to conform. However, we have found, and Magda is going to present on the data, that not to be an effective strategy. Then we also knew, let's do a little bit more to let them understand what we want them to do. We did a four-hour training. It wasn't the knapsack training, which I really wish we could have had personnel to do and that our speaker following me will talk about. I think now that we've got a good baseline, we've got two data points. If we went with the knapsack somehow and got a third data point, we'd really have some good data. All right, supersizing our children, it's severe consequences, and as you know, anywhere from 14 to 16% of our children are obese. We're not talking about overweight. And if you look at the overweight category, then to that 16%, you add another 27%, and you get at the overweight obesity numbers, which are just more than half. So we know that parents that are overweight will have children that grow up to be overweight, much more likely to get diabetes, heart disease, etc. And we also know that the children are establishing those food preferences early. So what we really want them to do is just to taste. The data says, the research says that if they'll taste it 21 times, they're more likely to accept it as a food within their diet. So keep that in mind. 21 tries of saying, no, I don't like it. And as you know, they're in child care for an enormous amount of their 24 hours. If you look, their sleep, sleep is that dark blue at the top. Child care is a little bit less dark at the bottom, so just about as much influence. Okay, Magda's going to talk about the design.
Thank you, Eleanor. Sure. Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for coming. Our study used a randomized controlled design. 120 childcare centers were selected out of 345 childcare centers and randomized into three groups. The first group is a control group, limited intervention, and full intervention group. The nutrition and physical assessment environment, physical activity environment of the childcare centers were assessed actually at baseline and 6 months after the implementation of the intervention. We used the validated tool environment and policy assessment and observation and document review to assess the nutrition and physical activity environment. In addition, a written self-assessment survey was given to the directors to self-assess their perception of nutrition and physical activity practices in their centers. The full intervention was in the form of four-hour training on guidelines plus practice in policy development. The limited intervention group received their nutrition and physical activity guidelines by mail. The standard proposed for the physical activity that we need to ensure that the at least 60 minutes or more of the structured and unstructured physical activity a day, and the children should not be seated for more than 30 minutes except when sleeping, and limit television to no more than 1 to 2 hours a day. For the nutrition, the standards are in the form of serving family food style, serving non-fat milk, fruit, healthy vegetable, full grain. In addition, elimination of the deep frying or brief frying food or high fat meat. The data were recorded and scored using the ABO scoring guidelines. I have a copy of the guidelines and the instruments for those who are interested. Two area scores representing nutrition and physical activity environment were developed from 16 sub-area scores. Each area and sub-area score range from 0 to 20. The data were analyzed using descriptive statistics, number metric, and over median test for the scores, and chi-square test for categorical data. We used SPSS version 20 to analyze our data. At baseline, I'm going to present the data at baseline and after 6 months, which is the post intervention, the final observation, and then comparing both at overall and by group. So at baseline, we observed 119 centers, 41 in the full intervention group, 39 in the limited intervention group, and 39 in the control group. An average of 16 children were present at the observation during the observation day. Overall, the average nutrition score was 10 plus or minus 2, and that for the physical activity was 9 plus or minus 2 points, indicating that the scores were very low. There was no significant difference between the groups in the nutrition and physical activity scores for the area and the sub-area calculated. At the final observation, we observed 106 centers, 33 in the full intervention, 38 in the limited intervention, and 35 in the control group. An average of 17 children were present during the observation day. There was no significant difference between the group and the number of children observed, so it was not a confounding variable in the analysis. The data in this table represent the median of the sub-area scores for each group. The highest score were found in the sub-area of staff behavior being supportive of healthy nutrition and physical activity habits, and in good practice of not serving high-fat, high-sugar diet. Difference between the group and the sub-area, we observed some difference between the groups as you see in the table, but this difference were not statistically significant. This figure represents the overall percent of the child care centers that follow the nutrition and physical activity standards comparing baseline and final observation. Overall, there was a significant increase in the percent of centers serving non-fat and low-fat milk in the final observation relative to the baseline. There was also a slight increase in the percent of centers following the other standard post intervention relative to the baseline. But these differences were not statistically significant. Now I'm going to take it to the next level, which is comparing the groups. So these figures represent the percent of centers following the nutrition and physical activity post intervention relative to the baseline for each group. There is a decrease in the percent of centers serving high fat and high fat milk, and increase in the percent of centers serving 1% milk and skim milk. Still, we have 1 in 4 centers is not serving fruit. There is an improvement in the, as you see in the figure, there is an improvement in serving vegetables and healthy vegetables. there was no change in the practice of serving whole grain food. Higher percentage of centers showed good practice around not serving fried, pre-fried, or high-fat meat. Serving family styles actually reflecting, like, you know, the nutrition environment also was lower in the final observation relative to the baseline. This graph here indicated that the median number of minutes for the total physical activity and seating did not indicate good physical activity practice in the centers. Here's some positive things. There was a significant increase in the structured physical activity observed at the final observation. Only 10% of the centers had TV viewing time at the end of the study. Now, Illinois is going to present our successes.
Actually, we were really feeling bad about all this data before we got here, and we started talking to people like the NAPSEC presentation afterwards, and then I've been in every session about child care, nutrition, physical activity. They're all reporting that their interventions are not very successful. So we don't feel so bad as we did. And actually, what this APHA is an opportunity for all of us that are working in this area to get together and say, oh, you know, don't feel bad. That was my experience also. So even though we've had some successes, what I believe is the biggest success that we had to do with passing a law in 2010. We had baseline data as far as the type of milk that was served and whether or not they were serving sweetened beverages. Before the law was passed, in the middle of our study, yay! And then we did final observation. So we actually have some nice, clear evidence that policy works. So I'm going to go on to say that our partner is California Food Policy Advocates, and they're the ones that take what we want up to Sacramento and get it enacted, and they did this. So as you can see, they're required now to serve 1% or skim. They're required to eliminate the sugar-sweetened beverages and even the artificially sweetened beverages. And they're required not to serve more than 4 ounces of juice. And then we put into the law, and it's not to substitute for the whole fruit. Now, like Magda said, we're still finding that a fourth of our centers served no fruit on the day of the observation. What's that about? We also find a whole lot of our centers are serving no vegetables. Well, no vegetable that we count. They'll put a scoop of iceberg lettuce with the pizza slice. So this is not what we want our children to be learning to eat. So what is needed in the future? We need more robust interventions. We need interventions. Not our target was the director of the center because they write the check. They determine the menu. Well, we found that with the centers that were associated with unified school districts, and there were like 4 in our area. I don't know whether you understand that we went because we weren't being funded. We went to the area of Los Angeles County of highest need, where the obesity rates were the highest, not only among the adults, but the children. This is an area, used to be South Central, the Watts riots, any of you that are old enough to remember all that, essentially what we call Service Planning Area 6, which is south of the 10, around the 110, a little bit below the 105. So that area of Los Angeles, not West Side, and is highly, it has two ethnic groups, it has two populations. 5 minutes, thank you. There's practically no white. It's mostly Latina and African American, and those are the two groups that have the highest obesity rate. So we wanted to be there, and we wanted to take these measurements because the county wasn't getting any money. We were able to go there. Otherwise, we would have had to have scattered our interventions across the county. Okay, so we need policies. We've already demonstrated that policies work. The IOM came out in 2010 with stricter guidelines than Nemours, Delaware. There's only one state in the United States that has enacted strict policies. I went to the presentation by New York, and they're only talking about beverages. What we want are policies that require healthy vegetables, non-fried food, high nutritional count foods. So that's what we want. We've won the beverage battle. It's now on to what they're actually being served. So we want to see in our parent handbooks, and I really recommend if you're working in child care, look at those parent handbooks, encourage those directors to put their healthy eating policies in so that the parents know that you're supporting the guidelines of the Academy of Pediatrics or the Institutes of Medicine or whatever, that you're working as a child care center to instill those healthy habits. So we want to see no outside food. You can't feed a child oatmeal whenever they've just finished a donut. And they do. They come in the front door with a donut in their mouth. If you can say it's the policy of our center, no outside food, then you have a chance of getting that donut back and into the garbage where it belongs. So we want also for them to learn that a birthday is not just about cake and ice cream. It can be parties. They can wear a little crown for the day. Lots of ways to celebrate without food. So expand the opportunities. We only train the directors. The directors have a lot of pressure on them, monetary pressures and all that. We believe that something like the knapsack intervention that targets the parents, the children, the staff, the whole bunch of people that influence what goes on in that center. As in the tobacco war, the way we won that war was the child that said, "Mama, don't smoke. Don't smoke. I don't want you to die." Now, if we can have those children look at their plate and say, "Where's the vegetable?" we might be able to see some differences. Okay? So, current standards are near almost non-existent. I can't believe it. Every year I tell my graduate students, look, see if there's anything that's been passed. The child and adult food program, those recipients are held to higher standards and do have higher scores. Because it works. It is tied to money and reimbursement and a little bit of accountability. So this we really recommend. However, when we look at our data, all of our centers would qualify, every one of them, but about 30% of them are participating. So we really need to empower them so that they can participate and get that money. And, of course, Michelle is my hero, my heroine. We all need to get moving, and we need to make sure that our children are getting exposed to good nutrition.